This Thursday night, we're wrapping up the Premier League season with a brilliant live show at the Goat Bar in Dublin. Going to be joined by Liverpool legend Steve McMahon and a couple of Irish legends as well. Glenn Whelan and Richard Dunne are going to be along. That's this Thursday night, the 22nd of May at the Goat Bar in Dublin. To get your tickets, head along to offtheball.com/events. It's all with thanks to Guinness. Never settle.
The League of Ireland pod in partnership with Rockshore.
On Off the Ball.
A league of our own.
Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
You are very welcome to another League of Ireland pod, and as you've heard, brought to you by Rockshore, a league. Oh my God! Sorry, Brona, could we? sorry, Vincent.
Get Nathan back quick.
All this time in the sunshine's getting to me head.
Be about it. Look, my haircut stable, by the way.
I haven't seen you yet. I still haven't got you on the screen yet, so I'll give you a live reaction on the pod.
Fair enough. It's a bit too tight.
Okay, here we go.
The League of Ireland pod in partnership with Rockshore.
On Off the Ball.
A league of our own.
Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
You are very welcome to another League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball. It is Stephen Doyle here with you this week. And my friend, we're down a man. Vinnie Perth. It's just myself and yourself.
It'll be the best show ever.
Oh my God.
I'm not saying it. Common denominators.
Yeah, our boy G-Mac, he's out on the west coast of the USA in San Diego. I'm sure on very important business, not sunning himself like Owen Doyle was when I sent him a text saying, Owen, any chance you could be a super sub? And all I got was a picture of Owen beside the swimming pool somewhere nice and hot in his water wings.
Could have joined in from the pool. Like that. Do you remember the old World Cups where the lads would do a report back to camera with Clive Tilsey and them lads?
Them were the days. They sure were, Vinny. Them were the days when both of us had more hair than we have now, and you seem to have lost a bit of it there the last couple of days, did you? That's looking tidy.
I went in and your man says, what do you want? And I said, about 6 weeks. And I think he went for 10 to 12 weeks with this one.
I'll save you a few, Bob. Anyway, Vinny.
Harsh. It's harsh.
As you have heard, the League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore. Hashtag a league of our own. Drink responsibly. See drinkaware.ie. Our live match this week, it's me and you, Vinny, hitting the road. We're heading north to Drogheda. Drogheda United against Bohemians is our live game, which is only on Off the Ball Radio. So you'll have to download the Goal Out app to tune into that match on Friday night. It promises to be a cracker. We will look ahead to it in a short bit of time. Starting the week, of course, with Shamrock Rovers on top of the SSE Airtricity Men's Premier Division with a 5-point lead now over Derry City. And Bohemians, who are both on the same amount of points, Derry have a better goal difference. Drogheda United, a point further back in fourth place. St Patrick's Athletic, a point behind them and two clear of Shelburne. And then it's Waterford, Galway United, Cork City and Sligo Rovers with the last two, both on 12 points. It's been another interesting week of results and games. Of course, there was a doubleheader for the European teams on the Monday just gone. This week, we've got Derry City against Shamrock Rovers, Galway United versus Cork City, Shelburne versus Sligo Rovers, and St Patrick's Athletic versus Waterford, as well as our own live match on Off the Ball Radio, which is Drogheda United against Bohemians. Another top of the table clash this week, Vinny. It isn't, of course, the same top of the table clash we had a few weeks ago, and that was Drogheda United against Shamrock Rovers. This week, it's Derry City against Shamrock Rovers up the Ryan McBride Brandywell. And if we weren't doing this game on Friday night, I'd be really, really interested to see this match. It promises to be a cracker, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I think we're starting to see peak Shamrock Rovers arrive back. When you look at their... I mean, sometimes for me, when you look at benches, Trevor Clark, Aaron Green, Danny Mandrew, Aaron McAniffin, Dylan Watts all came onto the pitch the other night in a 4-0 victory against one of your rivals. That's phenomenal. Jack Bourne and my man, who I think the world of, Healy, completely ran the show against St. Pat's. And Rovers look exceptional at the moment. And we've had one of these leagues where being 2 or 3 points here and there, just, you know, you could go from 4th to 6th in a week or two. Feels like the momentum has started to shift over the last couple of weeks. Rovers look exceptionally good. They look far and above everybody. But as we know, this league can bite you a little bit for making any sort of big statements. And that's a tough fixture they have going up to Derry. Particularly, they don't seem to like that pitch, the Rovers players. But I fancy them kick on now. I fancy them be really strong over the next couple of weeks. As I said, when you've got a bench like that, you're in a really strong position. And the way they demolished St. Patrick's Athletic should be a concern for everybody else in the league. They were very, very good. I think Pat's played into their hand the other night. I thought tactically really naive from them, very surprising. But at the same time, Rovers can only beat what's ahead of them. Mm-hmm. When you look at things like Michael Noonan, it's become a great story in terms of what he's doing on the pitch, the performance. Jack Warren looks like that injury has certainly given him, you might find at the end of his career, gives him the next year or so, but he looks back to his very, very best. And Graham Bourke, funny, Graham Bourke is quicker with the ball at his feet than running without it, you know? They should attach a ball to his foot and he'd be a hell of a lot quicker because he looks really good at the moment. So it's all positive signs for Shamrock Rovers at the moment.
Yeah, let's stay with the hoops because I just want to take you back actually to what you said about Matt Healy. I've seen a few people, not me, I saw him up close for the first time when we covered the game away to Drogheda United earlier this season, and I was so impressed with Matt Healy. Just one of those lovely midfielders that just gets on the ball, he's able to pick out a pass, he's just a no-fuss player and he looks like he's got so much time on the ball. Because you've praised him just there. What is it you like about Matt Healy?
I think I need to be careful because in terms of that midfield role, they've had some, they've had some brilliant players that do that same job. But I feel he makes them a little bit better. Gary O'Neill has been part of the four in a row and Gary O'Neill has made them tick. And people felt without Gary O'Neill, they'd struggle. The biggest compliment you can give Healy is he's gone in there and actually improved the team. I'm not trying to suggest for one second he's better than Gary O'Neill, but what he does do is he's a little bit quicker in how he moves the ball forward, a bit more progressive. And from that number, so the sixth position, or that sitting midfielder, he's willing to join in. Probably a little bit more tenacious. Gary used to make a lot of clever fouls, where Healy will make a foul as such, where he will get stuck in a little bit more than him. So he's everything that's good about this Shamrock Rovers team. Very comfortable on the ball, can get them moving quickly. Feels like he could pop up with the odd goal here and there from the edge of the box. He's not afraid to get involved. So everything about him since he's come into this side has really impressed me. And I said that when we've done our three best players so far in the league, I picked him out because I've seen a good bit of him and he's been really impressive. You must say, it's sometimes, especially in midfield, it's one of them positions where combinations are really important. People like young Darren Nugent has been really important to that midfield in terms of his work energy. The two of them have gone under the radar a little bit because of Bourne and Bourke and different bits and pieces. But Healy looks a hell of a good player. And without doubt, whether he's the top one, two, three players in the league, he's certainly getting into that team of the year. And if he's not, it's a joke. And so halfway through the season, he's been right up there.
He's only 23 as well, Vinny. His best years ahead of him. Could you see him carving out a long career at Shamrock Rovers, or do you think he might be looking to keep on? I don't want to be kind of, annoying Rovers fans by saying he's going to move on, but like, do you see him maybe like a Jack Byrne where he might stick around for a few years?
I mean, like, people don't like that talk, but you've got to get inside the player's mindset. Like, so it's a little bit like, what would you sign for, let's say, a St. Johnstone or a Falkirk or a League One club? It's not necessarily that they would be going there for a better standard of club. Rovers will have that opportunity of Europe last year and hopefully again this year. And if you're champions, the Champions League nearly guarantees you conference football. It's about going to a Motherwell, and that's what a lot of our players have done, with a hope of getting the next big move, ending up in a Championship or ending up at a higher level. So would have shocked me if he went back and gave it another go. No, absolutely not. But the difference now is, yes, one is the league is so strong and wages and salaries are decent, standard is improved with European football. But two is, the state of Shamrock Rovers as a football club means have a long career there and do really well out of game. and play at a really high level. So the temptation to move now isn't as big as it once was. But I don't think it's disrespectful to suggest that a player might leave a Rovers, Pats, Bowles, Derry to go and take a chance on an English club. He might sign for a Walsall, for argument's sake, and people will look down their nose at that. But it's not necessarily the Walsall move. It's about, can he get the next one? And you're more in a shop window over there than you are here.
Just looking at the back three they started with against St. Patrick's Athletic, you had O'Sullivan, Lopez and Grace with Honahan and Grant as the wing backs. Does Dan Cleary come back into that starting 11 straight away against Derry City, or do you stick with Corey O'Sullivan?
I met Dan today, actually. I had a cup of tea with Dan, so I won't give any trade secrets away. So he's very close. The bottom line is, Corey Sullivan's an exciting young player. Jim Crawford has obviously spotted him as well in terms of that international setup. He's someone I've been really impressed with. Whether that's been, I think he can play wing back as well and give them a different option. He's been really impressive, particularly in those European games. I thought, wow, this kid settled into it so easily. But Cleary is, for me, he's one of them players. In some quarters, he might divide opinion. But for the type of football Shamrock Rovers play, so many of those lads that went from the dock to Shamrock Rovers didn't really work out. And some of them didn't even make sense to me, the signing of them, because someone like Gannon, I never felt was suited to the way Rovers played. Sean Hoare was also probably not really suited, although Sean had a good innocence. Both Sean's did. But Dan Cleary really suits this Rovers team. Spent a lot of time at that Liverpool Academy, a really out-and-out footballer in terms of his passing ability. And when you need someone to join in to create an overload of Rovers at dominant, as the third centre-half, so often we've seen him going into that sort of, into that forward channel, in the little pocket in midfield, and not afraid to cross the ball, or his quality of his pass out to a right wing back is exceptional. So for me, long term, they're a better team with Dan Cleary in it. But what Rovers' advantage now is, I always say, you know, the average age of a league winning team is generally close to the highest in the league, in the League of Ireland terms. Rovers have been like that. But when you're in a position of strength like they are, bringing in the likes of Corey O'Sullivan or whoever them young players are, it's much easier when you're so dominant. So it's a fourth world problem Stephen Bradley has in that sense. So probably won't see Dan Cleary this week. Not that he said that to me about this week. I know he's back in there on training. Wouldn't give any trade secrets away. But I imagine Bradley would be comfortable enough to say that pitch, Cleary's injury, I think we'll wait for another. I was there when it happened. I think we might wait another week and get another week into him. As I said, that's what you do. They're not panicking now. They're not chasing anybody down. So they have the luxury of doing that.
Yeah, I spoke to Jim Crawford today at his squad announcement. We might come back to it in a moment in relation to one of the other players in the squad that's playing League of Ireland football. But I asked him about Corey O'Sullivan. I said, look, where do you see his best position? And he didn't really nail it down. He just said, look, he can play in all three, left centre-back, left full-back or left wing-back. He's been very impressive.
Have you seen much of him, Steve?
Well, I saw him the only time, or seen him twice in the flesh, and the game that he started was against Drogheda United when we went up there as myself and Barry Murphy on commentary duties. And I was blown away by how good he is. He's got great pace. He's got the look of a fella who... you think about Josh Honahan. Josh Honahan's, he looks like a fella who could slot straight into a professional team anywhere across Europe. He's got that frame, he's got that build. And I think Corey O'Sullivan can get there as well. He probably just needs to gain a little bit of weight, which will come with him maturing. But I think he's just such an accomplished footballer. He never seems to panic on the ball. He's got great passing range. He's got a bit of everything, Vinny, hasn't he? He's just so impressive.
I think one of his challenges is at times when he plays on the same side as Danny Grant, it's almost like he get in each other's way a little bit.
Yeah, well, actually, he played with Honahan the night I saw him against Drogheda, and they actually worked really well together.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so there's more of a natural balance about that, where him and Grant almost get in each other's way because Grant is looking to do the winger stuff and he's looking to join in almost as a winger or wing-back, where with Honahan, there's a cleverness there. Because fullbacks see the game differently than wingers. They see it like where Honan might just see him going over on, around the overlap and just give him the ball and then support from behind. And that frees him up a little bit. So interesting to see what his best position is over time. For me, I feel like, you know, it's a bit like the old Trent Alexander one where he goes and Bradley kicked in. If Onan was to go, we're trying to sell all Rovers players off here. We'll get back to Steve. But if Onan was to go, for argument's sake, you've got a ready-made replacement there, haven't you? In terms of, because that physicality will come. It will come around that full-time in training. It will come around the S&C work that they do so well at Rovers. So you need a little bit of a bigger chest, a little bit stronger upper body just for the big hits as you go up levels. Mm. I mean, he's good enough to do it in League of Ireland now, but just as he goes up levels with European games and that. So the future's really bright for him. And it's funny that we're talking about him where the headlines had been about Victor and Noonan a lot more. But as a defender, he's in that same category, if not at times ahead of them, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, some you got to give praise to the Rovers Academy and to Stephen Bradley as well, because, you know, for so long it did seem like there was like a very talented looking academy there, but there wasn't many breaking through into the first team. Whereas now you've got so many young players now available to Stephen Bradley, and that he would have no fears with putting in there. And like one of them is, we should touch on Michael Noonan, because look, we won't go into the off the pitch details. Everybody is, I'm sure, who follows the League of Ireland would have seen what went on in the news last week in relation to Michael Noonan, and they can go look it up if they want. Can you maybe talk to me just about what you've seen in him over those last couple of games, Waterford and St. Patrick's Athletic? And, you know, he's a teenager and he's had to deal with so much, but yet he has responded very well.
Yeah, I think the advantage he has is he's obviously a very strong-minded boy to do what he's doing, because I presume there would have been discussion had in terms of, is it best to come out for a week or two? And my understanding is he said, no, it's not. So fair play to him for that. I mean, there's a whole wrongs and rights of all the other stuff that I wouldn't get involved with. In terms of Michael the footballer, what you see is, what's good about him and Mealy is that for too long in this country, we're developing soft footballers, right? And I mean soft, I don't mean in the upstairs part. I never use a lazy comment like that, in case anyone thinks that. I mean soft in terms of the physicality, the backing into people, being strong. And we've started to see in football a return to that type of centre-forward. There's still a place for the smaller type, don't get me wrong, the nippy one that comes in front of people or just plays off the shoulder. But, you know, when you see that type of player, whether it's the Premiership and Isaac or Wood, them type of lads, but Melia and going back to Noonan is, they lead the line so bloody well for 16-year-olds. Like, what Noonan did against Sean Hoare, who's a physically strong athlete, what he done against him and Joe Redmond the other day was off the charts. It was exceptional. 16-year-old against one of the best centre-halves in this country in Redmond. And like, Sean Hoare's medal tally is up there 6, 7, 8. Like, it's up in Owen Heary territory. And Sean is quick, physically strong. Redmond is strong. And he, at times, bullied them two centre-halves. His fourth goal is a bit of a mistake by the keeper, Brands. But he's come short, spinning down the side, and Rovers exploited Pat's back three. So he has it all in that sense. My questions around him would be, and I don't like talking about someone so young around questions, but you know what? He's put himself into that category now that should be able to. That's part of growing as a footballer. Is he going to score enough goals? Is he going to get the ugly goals? Is he going to get those ones in between someone? Is he strong enough in the air with them crosses? And he's starting, the more you see him, to tick all of them boxes, because once you have the physicality side of it, once you can go up against anybody, once you've no fear, and the last little bit is movement in the box, finding that little pocketed space and scoring a couple of goals from 2-3 yards. And once he starts to add that, I think he has that. I think he has that. And
that's something as well that can be coached, Vinny, isn't it? So yeah, like it's not like, he'll never be able to do these things. They are things he can be coached and can practice and get better at.
Yeah, and the challenge is, I think Robert might bring another centre forward. I think that will happen. It brings someone in, most likely from the north. The Northern League, I'll you know, let's see how that plays out. But it looks like there's a deal done to get another centre forward, and I think they need that. As much as Green has been excellent for them, Gaffney been excellent. So we don't want that to stop Michael's development. But you can't rely on you know, with the amount of games they have, bringing in another centre forward will be really important to them. But I hope that doesn't stop his growth. But I mean, he's got it all, Michael Noonan, and how he's managed over the next sort of 6-18 months in terms of Gilly turns 18 is huge and solving a lot of problems for Rovers in terms of, I still think he will, as I said, it's very close to a deal being done with another player, but I still think only one they need because of his form being so good.
Looking at Derry City then, Vinny, you know, we've spoken very highly of them over the last number of weeks and things have started to click for them after a very shaky start under their new boss, Tiernan Lynch. You've spoken about the pitch. Like, I was looking, and this is something I was kind of thinking of myself before we had this conversation, that it's a place that Rovers don't really like to go. But, like, you're looking at the last few home games for Derry City. It hasn't been so bad for Shamrock Rovers. Derry City 1, Shamrock Rovers 1. That was in September of last year. Rovers won 3-1 the game before that. Then the previous year, you had a draw and a 2-0 win then for Rovers. And then you have to go all the way back to February 2023 for Derry City. No, in fact, sorry, that was the President's Cup match I'm looking at there. So we're going back a long way to find a Derry City home win. That was actually February 2022.
The point I'm making is there's a little fear of injuries. They often talk about it, whether it was Oriel Park, whether it was there. So if somebody's, you know, like Dan Cleary's a good example, they probably won't risk Dan. Now they start him now because, like I said, probably won't risk Dan because of the pitch, but if you're going through a grass pitch up there, he might have started. So more of that then.
Yeah, and there's a couple of other players there have had injuries recently that Stephen Bradley might be, you know, reluctant to start in that game. But so mentally, Derry City, is there a mental issue there for Derry with regard to playing Shamrock Rovers at the Brandywell?
There's a couple of things. For me, I think Derry playing the way they're playing at the moment. So they were poor against Rotten the other day. So when we previewed the season, my thoughts on Derry would be when all of their very best players play and play well, they can beat anybody. They can beat anybody in the day. So on any given day, I would really be reluctant to write off Derry. So what I mean is if Gavin White, Michael Duffy, Boyce play really well, Adam O'Reilly midfield, Robbie Benton, they've got squad packed with quality. And when they all have their day, they're right up there with Shamrock Rovers as the best team in the league. But I didn't think, and I still don't think, they will have the consistency to win a league over 36-odd games for a couple of reasons. Like Holt is very good. Conley's got a little bit fitter now, so he's improved. McCann, should I say, McCann has played really well for him. A lot of stuff going well for him. Missing Ben Doherty a little bit, he'd be a bit of a loss to them. But I don't see them being really consistent, and that's the challenge we have about them. So we'll find out about them a little bit this week in terms of if they went and beat Rovers, that will make people stand up and notice them to the next level. But we can't forget how poor they were down in United Park last week. And I mean, anyone can have an off day, but I just don't see the consistency in them. And the big fear I have from watching the draw of the game back last week was I think White and Duffy are the two best wingers in the country. You could argue about Elvezetti, Mulroney, but the two of them in a consistency level this year are two of the best wingers in the country. Ben Lynch is playing them slightly inverted, and I think that's holding them back. Now, I'm sitting in the cheap seats here. He's managing the team, and he obviously has a reason for that, different bits and pieces. But with the running power of them two, he's got to get chalk on the boots of the two of them because they can win in the league. Now, Winchester was a huge loss for them up in United Park. He's a really good player. But I'll tell you what, Steve-O, if I can only give you my experience. If I was managing Derry this Friday night, be a 4-3-3 with all day long. Mm. Them two boys, because that's how you hurt Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, I was going to say that to you, because look, obviously we know how Drogheda United play. It's as they say, a low block, and it's hard to break them down. Whereas Rovers won't play like that, and they will come and try and attack Derry City, and they will leave space behind those wing backs.
Kevin Doherty must have been rubbing his hands together, because Duffy and White are inside, so that's where he's got bodies everywhere. He's got all of his players.
Shane Farrell, Ryan Brennan, all blocking up the middle. Brennan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a mistake they made, and they've got to learn from that.
So, yeah, so tactically then, if you're approaching, you're talking about a 4-3-3, I think Liam Boyce could be a huge player in this game as well, Vinny. Like, we saw on the 0-0 draw at Tallaght Stadium. I thought that was the game where I kind of started seeing Boyce starting to come good, and he's such a tricky customer to mark because he does like to drop deep. And that's going to be difficult maybe for Shamrock Rovers, because you've got, I suppose, Matt Healy looking to get on the ball and trying to spread the play. You know, Pico Lopez will have to be very on guard directing his defenders as to who goes to meet Boyce. But I think Boyce could have a huge impact on the game as well.
Yeah, so if you remember that game, I would have spoken a little bit about how they inverted Michael Duffy a little bit. Derry actually finished that game a hell of a lot stronger than Shamrock Rovers. Rovers were in a different place at the time. But it was more that some of it was counter-attack, but Duffy came alive in the last 15, 20 minutes, if you remember. Out wide, running at people like Cleary, getting at them, and dragging centre halves out. So, for me, that's the key, as I said. But you're right, Boyce, like, I think there's times where we'd be looking at Boyce and he'd win the odd player of the month. I think he'd go and score 4 or 5 goals in a month and he'd be exceptional. But there's other times you'll see him and he'd be going, oh, he's not the player he once was, you know? And I think, unfortunately, that's replicated a little bit through it. So Tiernan's got to find the right balance with that. Has to be. When you think of, again, you look at both of these squads, they're probably, outside of Pats, paper, the two best squads in the league. Like, think about, I'm using benches again. Danny Mullen, Paul McMullen, Dom Thomas, Patrick Hoban came off the bench. That's very, very strong. Very, very strong for them. In a really strong position. Shane Ferguson still left on the bench. They're not shy of quality. Mm.
And they're still missing, I think, one of the best defensive midfielders in the league, in Diallo, who was still out injured. I'm not sure on his return. And Dumigan, of course, out with the hamstring.
But Winchester's a huge loss out of squad, Stephen. Yeah. I think he's highly underrated by us down in Dublin. He's a really good player, him. You know, so...
Do you think, is it one of those though as well, because we've got two really, really good teams coming up against each other, that it could end up being a bit of a damn squib, that they kind of cancel each other out? Or do you expect like a really good...
No, this is going to be a top game. Two managers will go for it. I know what Tina Lynch done down in Tallaght, in terms of being a little bit tighter in terms of the shape at home. Where they are in the league, I think they've got to go for it. That doesn't mean gung-ho, that doesn't mean doing that and stupid. I think this is the makings of a really good game, high level, high quality. If the real Derry turn up, I don't need to make any more friends or any friends down at Shamrock Rovers. I have enough enemies. But I still think Rovers are going to win the league. I love what they do. But I think for the league, I sort of hope Derry win. Mm. Does that make sense? Because
It
feels like Rovers could get away. So I will be... This week, unfortunately for Rovers fans, not that they care, I'll be cheering on Derry. I think it's good for the league if they beat them.
Yeah.
And as I said, when Derry are very good, they're as good as anybody. So I think that's making sort of a really high-level game. That feels like one of the biggest games of the season. We've had lots of big Dublin derbies, lots of big moments. But this feels like has the potential to be one of the biggest games of the season. Not season-defining, there's still a lot of way to go. But if Rovers were to win, you'd imagine, wow, imagine the boost that would give to that squad heading into one more game, the break. If Derry were to win, you know what, you'd have to start believing they can win the league title.
Yeah, it's a very, very mouth-watering clash, and two high-quality squads going head-to-head. Really looking forward to it. Well, we'll have to watch it back because we'll be on another game. But before we get to that one, Waterford against Pats, Vinny, John Coleman... is he going to do
into
any
trouble here talking about Pat Steeble?
Well, listen, we'll come on to Pat's, but like Waterford, like he comes in to take over a team that has been absolutely flying under their interim boss, and maybe a little bit disappointed, I'm sure, to come in and lose that game. Waterford, of course, last week were up against Shamrock Rovers, of course, beaten 3-1. Like, that's a tough game for any manager to come in and play and take over a side and play. So you maybe won't read too much into it. Is he going to do too much different though with this Waterford team, with those players that wasn't being done before?
No, I don't think he needs to do overly too much. Like, this is, I'll come off Rovers now, but just make the point. This is what champions do. You go down. Shamrock Rovers only 46% possession against Waterford. Waterford were the better side for large periods. Lost 3-1. That's what Coleman found it really disappointing to understand. And he was disappointed his team lost. But there's the nucleus of a great side there. And ultimately, look, don't like saying it, but that's why Keith was under a bit of pressure, because there is a good squad there. And obviously, the caretaker came in and done a brilliant job. And I think Coleman feels like a good fit for Waterford. Done well enough at Sligo. Danny Venter's gone in with him, knows the league really well. They don't need to do a whole lot of different. Almond and Tommy Lonergan are still playing really well for them. That's a great sort of starting point for them. I think they'll be okay. I think not change too much. Have they an outside chance of finishing in the top four? Yes, do I expect them? They're probably not. That would be dominated by the so-called bigger clubs. But there was a fear around Waterford a couple of months ago in terms of where they were going. Would they be dragged into that sort of Cork stroke Sligo battle? I don't think they'll get there. I think there's too much quality in their team. And especially as a new manager comes in, they may find them a couple of new players as well to add to that squad in the window. So I think it looks bright for Waterford. In another year, building towards just getting better and growing into the league.
Do you remember much of his spell at Sligo Rovers?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it was, you know, he'd done a decent job at the time. You know, they didn't play overly different to anything we've seen, or there was no like mad tactical stuff or anything like that. Just came across a really nice man, completely and utterly understands the game. Some of these guys come in from English football and think it's a little bit easier. I never got that impression off them. You know, the small conversations you have. Some of them can, particularly at the start, look down their nose a little bit in Irish football, thinking, you know, we stand in the weeds and the cabbages on hills. Like,
don't worry, we'll come to that, Vinny.
I'm not talking anymore about that, Steve. But he was very respectful, really, really nice man. And got the best out of that Sligo team at the time. I think you get the best out of this Waterford team as well.
Yeah, is it like, because they've got such good centre forwards, is it a case of like, if you're a manager there, do you kind of build your team around those two players, or, you know, is it a case of get the ball to him and he'll score the goals?
Yeah, but that's why to be fair, they've come up with that system. It's a 3-5-2, whatever you want to call it. Get your best players on the pitch, and Andy Boyle is close to return to fitness. Darragh Leahy has played centre half. Radowski is doing really well for them. Horton is doing well. They've got a lot of experienced players in their squad. They know what they're doing. Dave McManaman, sort of in that number 10 position. I think they'll bring in another couple of players. Like, I still think that the window will be important to them. They've announced a chance of that top four spot, you know, if everything goes their way. And at times last week, they were every bit as good as Rovers. Rovers just ultimately had that little bit of quality when it was needed in big players to step up. They probably don't have that same quality in midfield, obviously. So I think that's a positive appointment for them. And I think the Waterford fans will be happy with what they've got.
Yeah, and I would imagine that this week he might be relishing playing against St. Patrick's Athletic. That one is in Inchicore. I would imagine the St. Pat's players are hurting a lot after Monday night's results. Like, obviously it was against a really top class side who, as we've mentioned already, brought four incredible substitutes off the bench midway through the second half. Like, what I'll tell you one thing, Vinny, right? I've noticed, and I follow a lot of League of Ireland people on social media, a lot of Pats fans, and there does seem to be a lot of ire directed at the coaching staff that Stephen Kenny has working for him. And there seems to be a lot of criticism as well for some of the players who've been around to play long enough for the three previous, or the three managers. What's your kind of take on it all?
First of all, the criticism is, I suppose it's part of football, that's grand. Live with that. But like, how do any of these people on, say, social media and like that know exactly what Sean O'Connor or Brian Gartland are doing? Just don't.
They're watching, they're following their team every week, Vinny, and they're seeing the performance that they're turning in, and maybe
But the book stops collectively. It doesn't, like, just because someone's at the club a long time and all of that stuff. I mean, with 10 games to go last year, you were probably critical. With 2 games to go, the heroes at the start of the season, they're thinking these same players are going to win the league. It's just not easy. It's a difficult league. I think ultimately, I can understand the frustrations. I grew up a Pats fan. Everyone knows that. I want Pats to win as much as anybody. But, I mean, the only one place to start the criticism for you today, I mean, he went up and matched Shamrock Rovers. Fatal error. He played Simon Power and Zach Albizetti as wingbacks. Fatal error. So what you've done is you've matched up a team who's done that same system for 5 years, been brilliant at it, won 4 league titles, had European runs, group stages, European runs, all the best players thrown at the form. You've gone up, you played this system for the first time in all season, and you bring someone like Turner in out of cold. And I know they have injuries, and I know they're trying to get, say, Keane and Mealy into the team at that. But that's not...
Yeah, well, it is interesting because...
One person made that decision, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I'm very strong on staff are important to managers. Really important. I don't like when it becomes like a two-named manager system, because the manager will take all the responsibility of it. So sometimes you would have heard, you know, Keith Long and Trevor Crawley, or, you know, there would have been that type of stuff. I don't like that. I think it's the manager's the manager. Staff are really important, and they help shape a manager's decision. But ultimately, the manager makes it. And there's been some, like, it's so hard for me to talk about this, but someone has to say, all right, this is what you're asking me to do. This is why I come on every week. But the decision making from Pat at the moment has been not good. So I understand. That's where I come back to. I understand the criticism, but we don't know. Has Sean O'Connor gone to the Stephen and said, "What are you playing with back three for?" We don't know. So that's where you've got to be fair to these people.
Another thing to ponder with that as well, Vinny, is that they played against a Shelburne team just a couple of weeks ago who also had a back three with wing-backs and really played brilliantly against them in the first half. They were way the better team. Were undone in the end, really, by a late goal, Kerr McEnroy. A couple of, you know, Joe Redmond really unlucky with that header to drop to McEnroy. So where's the logic?
No, he wasn't. Stephen, sorry. And that drives me demented. Sorry. It was a bad header.
Okay. Well, listen, we put that aside, right? It was a late goal they were done by. But so where is the logic that when you come up against a team that you like Shamrock Rovers, why would you try and match them when the way you play was enough to go up against Shells a couple of weeks previous, a 4-2-3-1. And granted, Chris Forrester's not around now, that's fair enough. But surely you just go, right, well, let's stick with our 4-2-3-1 like we did against Shelburne, and what we got a lot of joy out of.
That's the bit I don't understand. And again, remember, I'm sitting in one of the cheap seats here. I'm not paid to manage. Nobody trusts me to manage. But it's a fatal error to go up to Rovers and try and be better than at them at what they do very well. Think about the logic of that. It's okay to go up for some teams and play with a 4-5-1, or, you know, stay in the game. Draw it the week before. A bit critical of draw it the week before up in Pala, where it was really poor football. Didn't really go for it, and then tried to open up as the game went on. But I understood it. That's acceptable to do that not the way I would do it. But to go and match a team up, which was so off the cuff, like I haven't seen them playing with a back three in a long, long time, to go and do that.
And look,
the criticism that comes your way is deserved. I'm just not sure it's all aimed. I'm not trying to say, well, you should all slag off Stephen. And you can't just, like, ultimately he's made that decision. And if Elbezetti and Power actually done quite well, if the two of them don't play well, what are you playing them as wing backs for in the first time all season? And both attacking wingers playing as wing backs. I don't know. I haven't seen Stephen's interview. I'm not sure anyone has asked him then questions. It's hard to ask that. Journalists aren't tacticians either. I get that. But that was a strange call for me. And he's got to explain that to the Pats fans, or else not explain it. And if he doesn't explain it, start getting results. But you've got to learn from that. And I don't like doing this. I don't like getting personal. I really don't, as much as people might think I do. But I have to look at some of the decision-making there and go, wow, they're getting a couple of things wrong. And I have to we need to understand why. And again, we don't know if all the four fullbacks were injured, but they were all on the bench. Whatever about playing that shape, maybe play one at Elbezetti, maybe, and one fullback on the other side. So and going back to the staff, whether it's Gartland or Sean O'Connor or some of the players, did someone go and say, "Are you sure we're doing the right thing? We haven't really worked on this." Because they would have only had a couple of days on the training ground with that new system. And to go up to the champions and do it, champions elect. As I said, someone who's dominated the league for four of the last five seasons playing that way, that's concerning if I was a Pats fan.
Yeah, and look, maybe you could make a case that the four fullbacks that he has have made their own mistakes and have been at fault for goals this season. Maybe he said, right, let's see if I can play with the wing backs. And I just wonder as well, because you and Gareth have brought it up in the podcast previously that because of the amount of switching of centre-backs, that there seemed to be a bit of players being unsure of themselves in those positions. And I just wonder as well, because Joe Anang made mistakes in the game against Shamrock Rovers, and is that partly the reason for his mistakes as well, is the fact that he's gone from playing with a back four, then his centre-backs in front of him are being changed around, then it's changed to a back three. That surely can't be good for the goalkeeper either.
No, there's something like, being the second goal, I think it was Bourke from distance. I think he's got to do a hell of a lot better. But to your point, the fourth goal where Mjolnir goes down the side and he gets in no man's land, that is a result of switching to a back three, because then he's not sure. He's not sure exactly where to cover position. He's not exactly sure where centre-halves are meant to be because they haven't played that system before. So the first one I can understand is a mistake. The second one, I think he's got to keep Bourke shot out. A great goal, but I think he's got to do a little bit better where he's beaten from. But answer your question, some of the goals, yes, some of the goals, no. So, I mean, look, and I'm sure because Stephen is always the glass half full, he will also point it. It's a big penalty call there that should have went away early in the game. And big moments change big games, but certainly got away from them. And in the end, they were lucky it was only four, and it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, and next up, obviously, they've got Waterford at home this week. Then they travel away to Sligo Rovers.
Dare I say two winnable games,
Well, they are, but they can also be tough games as well, can't they, Vinny? And I think as well, Drogheda United then at home, Shells at home. Like, it's from where they were at the end of last season. But look, you look at the table then.
But what was disappointing for me is...
They're still in fifth position and they're only 7 points off the top. So
I don't know whether you heard this. I don't know where I read it or seen it. But Stephen was sort of making the point, well, we're coming from the bottom to... So was that a change of mindset now around winning the league? Sort of making the point, well, we're not going to win the league straight away. We were toward bottom last year when he took over and now we're there. So that was a little bit concerning because he only talks about winning leagues.
Yeah.
When I mean the very first year. So what? Obviously, as we became this great side, he talked about winning leagues. But look, they're 7 points behind Rovers, but they're only 2 points off second.
Mm.
So if they win them two games, they're the ones potentially chasing Rovers. But he's been back to the hilt. The owner there has done a wonderful job. The food bill alone has increased by 100%, I'd imagine, in terms of looking after the players, training grounds. They've a lot going for them. they could do playing a little bit better. Because even earlier in the season when you were getting the results, they weren't playing very, very well. They haven't hit top form yet. Mm-hmm. We all felt as the pitch has improved. That's when the Mulraneys and Albizettis will come alive in terms of how they speed up the play. But that certainly hasn't happened. And I think they look physically a better team. Their strength and conditioning is working. But how much they struggled with people running beyond Lennon, for argument's sake, and running at him, or they certainly don't look like they've got lots of legs at the moment. And don't have legs the way they want to play, you're going to struggle.
Bohemians are level on points with Derry City, Vinny. Behind closed doors, do you think Alan Reynolds might be saying to his players, we've got no European distraction this year. We're going for this title. Let's keep this going.
Yes and no. It feels like to me that outside of Derry, because we don't know where Derry are going to be week in, week out, I think Bowles, and I'm not just talking about the last few weeks, I'm talking about some of the games they were losing as well. As much as you and some of the Bowles fans might disagree, there were so many good signs about that Bowles team. Quite a huge amount of chances getting done by killer sucker punches, defensive errors, but they were still playing well. And on paper, I don't like talking about players at other clubs, but the centre forward not playing at the moment in the league, and I think he's the kingmaker for that. One centre forward not playing for a different team. He went and got him. I think of everything else. We all know a centre half, the two young lads. Cavan has done well. Graham, another one for that Irish 21 squad. I think the world of the two of them. Cornwall, he's not consistent enough. I think if he was, from a fitness point of view, he's to play alongside one of the two of them at different stages, it'd be huge from that experience. But Graham, they look Graham, really exciting.
Graham might be going back to Palace.
And that's the challenge. You have to try and hold on to him as long as he can.
Mm. What if he does go back to Palace, Vinny? Is that a big, big blow for them?
Yeah, it's a huge blow now. Like, it's you don't feel like Cornwall can play between now and the end of the season every game. That, you know, like not getting that sense. It feels like they would need a centre half in, and ideally someone, as much as Grant done excellently, someone a little bit more experienced, and let him and Cavanagh have the full season together, or the second half of the season with Cornwall as backup. But it feels like a centre forward that just gets the little goals, because you can't go to the 96th minute every week or the 86th. Can you get four or five of those 6, 7, 8 of them goals from 2 or 3 yards, clever centre forward? Because you get to that final third so often. A lot of crosses into the box. They look really good at the moment. So Reynolds' mindset should be pushing, reaching for the stars with that group. And I think he will be.
Yeah, that's the initial question I was trying to get from you. And that's it is interesting. I think I definitely did. I think even when things weren't going so well, the end of last season, start of this season, you could see the patterns of play, the stuff that the players were trying to do, and you just felt that it's just going to take a bit of time to click.
Well, you could also understand the criticism, Steve.
Yeah.
If you don't win games.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
And I think people are trying to turn that into, well, you know, the people that were criticising the staff and that should have kept quiet or whatever. No, they were right to be critical as well, as much as Rennie and the staff have turned it around. It was at a critical stage, it would feel.
Mm. Just on the game against Chelsea, and looking ahead to the Drogheda United game, because the Drogheda United match is one of those games where you're going to need to dig deep. You're going to have to show...
Before you move on from Bowes, I'm not letting you away with this one. Talk to me.
I'm going to say it to you about Bowes, just that character, like, because they've shown the last few weeks that they can come from behind, win games or get points, whatever. But Friday, incredibly, even with Shells down to 9 men, it was like the Alamo in the Bowes box, and you were kind of thinking, well, how are they still fighting against a team of 9 men? But the character they had to show to dig deep to hold on to that lead, that's a different type of character. Is that something you were impressed by, or?
Yeah, and I am. There seems to be a good togetherness there in the group. And you would imagine that's why, you know, the senior players in the group, whether it's Cornwall, whether it's the captain.
Keith Buckley.
Buckley and people like that are driving a certain standard. And you would feel like Devoy, Tierney are part of that sort of leadership, even though they're a little bit younger, you would feel they're part of that. Obviously, Jordan is a different type. He has different leadership qualities, wouldn't be a shouting roarer. So, Flores. So, but that character that he have, and that's where, for me, like, you'd know so many Bulls fans, like, what's a good season for them now? Or what's the expectation now? Has it changed dramatically over the last 4 or 5 weeks?
I wouldn't. I think, like I said to you guys at the start when we were looking for, when we were doing our predictions, I thought Bowes had a good enough squad to finish third. I thought European qualification, that's where they need to be looking. I think that's what most fans would like to see. At least qualifying for Europe. And I think another good cup run, I think fan supporters who've been at the last couple of cup finals would be desperate for them to win a trophy. And the cup final, I think, is a really good opportunity for Bowes to do that. But I think European qualification, all the financial gains that come with that are exactly what they want. I think secretly maybe some supporters might be thinking, well, you know, we're up there tied on 27 points with Derry City. Why shouldn't we be kind of thinking, a bit like Shells last season, that we can win this title? Now, look, Rovers have shown with a fully fit squad now, they are going to be really, really hard to come up against. I'll tell you one thing, after what happened at Tallaght Stadium a few weeks ago with Bowes winning that Dublin derby, the next Dublin derby is going to be absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, and I think on Bowes, what's interesting is, first of all, to your point around winning the league, I think the standard of Shamrock Rovers have moved the bar up another level. So reaching the standard of Shelbourne last year won't be enough to win the league this year.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge. So that makes it a bit more difficult. That's why I feel we need that.
Well,
centre
look,
forward, Vinnie, and a centre half.
As well, defences win titles. We all know that, don't we? And
yeah, yeah.
I don't think, even Derry City, I don't think can match what Shamrock Rovers have at the back there, especially anchored with Pico Lopez there, like, who is going to go down in history as the, you know, arguably one of the greatest League of Ireland defenders we've ever seen.
Yeah, so that's the challenge for Bowes, is that you're 3 or 4 weeks away from being, when you look at Shelbourne and falling down the league, they're 3 or 4 weeks away from that. But there should be high expectations in that club. They should put managers and coaches and players under a little bit of pressure, because, like our Lumpa, they're a bloody good club who should be in around the European spots. And I think most people in the league, if you know what I mean by this term, the neutral versions of the league is a little bit, when you take all the hatred away, I think Bowes being back in Europe would be good for the league, particularly with the development of Dalymount coming, all of them things with it. I think most of us would like to see that. And they have the squad to do that, absolutely have. So I think it's exciting times for the Bowes fans, but it must be so painful being a Bowes fan for the last 18 months. You know, there's been so many nearly moments, and difficult times.
Listen, Derry, or speaking of squads, I should say, Drogheda United, welcome back the likes of Douglas James Taylor, Alicia Huey as well, man of the match in the cup final last year. Yet the results haven't really turned for them. I'm just looking there, one win in the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. A lot of draws, 6 draws. Now, Kevin Doherty doesn't look too perplexed in his post-match interviews. He seems to be happy enough with the performances. Is it a case of just those lads coming back in and finding their match sharpness? And I'd say, well, the bits I've seen of Ahui, he's been absolutely brilliant.
Oh, Ahui's been excellent. The combination of the three of them at the back, like Healy, Ahui, and it was Andrew Quinn the other day, they were exceptional. All had different moments, done really well. But for me, Lamb and Conor Kane have been the sort of standout players for them, without being the ones. Obviously Davis and Markey's back on the bench and he'll start, and up front very strong. Shane Farrell has probably been their player of the season, but how does what I'm saying make sense is the outlet and the running power that the two of them are giving them is huge, absolutely huge. And it's such a big outlet win, because what Drogheda are trying to do is flood the middle of the pitch, make it a little bit ugly, but then when you get it, explode out into the wide areas. And we've seen Lamb getting a brilliant setup for a goal for Davis a couple of weeks ago against Cork, where he's marauding down the wing, the right wing, gets to the end line, good cross, Davis gets up his feet, goal. We've seen Conor Kane getting to the end line, cross, and just forcing teams back. And that allows them, the strength that the two of those wingers are giving them, or wing backs he's given them is allowed them being really solid in the midfield. And when you compare that same shape to Shamrock Rovers, you're not likely to see an Andrew Quinn taking 5 or 6 touches in the opposition half looking for a nice pass or a bounce pass the way maybe a Dan Cleary would do, or or someone at Rovers. But they need to be solid to keep themselves in games. And that's why I give special mention to Alam in particular and Conor Kane. The two of them are doing really well for them. So, but Kevin's no fool either. He'll want to pick up another win or two, keep them in around that sort of European spots, and then see what happens as it opens up. Again, it feels like that's a club that the loan signings has generally worked for them. Yeah. It feels like he'll bring a couple in.
And I'll tell you one thing, Markey, back fit again, him linking up with James Taylor, that's going to be really interesting to watch as well on Friday night. That's going to be a huge...
I have to make a little bit of peace before I go up there because I could get battered up in United Park, as I call it. But I was slagging off Ryan Brennan the other day, so his two brothers could be waiting for me at the gate. But I also slagging off Drogheda in one sense, and to be fair to him, not having Markey is huge. Huge.
Yeah.
He gets you up the pitch. Gets you up the pitch. He's got quality. As a centre half, a couple of them have looked, got the head up and looked and seen nothing at times. But when you see Markey, you go, all right, grand. And you can fire one into him. He's got such a good touch. So you add Markey and Davis as then sort of 2 tens at different stages. They're a much better team.
Davis, just where we've got to wrap up here, Vinny, but Warren Davis, Jad Hatiki of Sligo Rovers, won't get to touch in their game against Shells. Should be an interesting match. Shells coming in off the back of that, their struggles over the weekend. And Sligo Rovers got to win the Connacht Derby, which is massive for them. But Hatiki and Davis, they're going to be walking on air after getting their call ups to Jim Crawford's under 21 squad. For Hatiki, but Davis.
A huge
for the
boost for them and the league, isn't it, though? Yeah. I mean, it gives young players a real sort of shot in the arm to think, wow. And we've seen so many players, like Davis is a great example of, it didn't work out for him in the League of Ireland academy system. He had to go the different route a little bit. He sort of came in and out, but went to UCD, Joey's, found a different pathway. And all of a sudden, he was at throughout the last year, it didn't work out, and then boom, bounced back in, playing really good football, and then gets a 21 international call-up. So the message is, if you're playing DDSL under 16, 17, 15, the dream's not over. You can still get to a decent level.
Absolutely. Well, listen, that should be a good game, as it should be, between Galway United and Cork City at AIM at DC Park. We can look more at those ones next week. But
sausages are on you, Steve.
They sure are, Vincent. I'll tell you that much. We might even make a stop on the way and get something fancier. But look, I'm looking forward to our live game on Off the Ball Radio. Do download the Go Loud app if you want to tune into that. It is Bohemians away to Drogheda United this Friday night at 7:45. And to remind you, the League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore. Hashtag a league of our own. Drink responsibly. See drinkaware.ie. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks, everyone. And we will chat to you next week.
The League of Ireland pod in partnership with Rockshore.
On Off the Ball.
A league of our own.
Get the facts. Be Drink Aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.